Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Runner Retreat, the podcast where we talk to the runners that inspire, influence, and educate you on all things running. I am Matt Wood from Run Through Events, and I'm with my co-host, Lewis Moses from New Levels Coaching.
So, Lewis, we're back for the Runner Retreat podcast. We were meant to be at our Runner Retreat in France this week, but obviously, because of COVID, we're not there. Lewis, how are you getting on?
I'm all right. I'd prefer to be in France in the mountains, I must admit. In fact, I was just looking at my watch and it annoyingly flashed up on my calendar. Matt and Lucy arrive at airport today. On my calendar, I was like, oh, that's a kick in the teeth.
I know. Over there as well.
All good. It is what it is, isn't it? The situation is what it is. And happy enough that we've got it rearranged for next year. Now, everybody who's coming to the retreat has been great with that and is very understanding, which is brilliant. And it's been tough for you guys, it's been tough for us, but the positives are we're still going to have our Runner Retreat. It's just going to be a different day.
Exactly, yeah. I think everyone's plans have changed, and I think people have become accustomed to changing plans at this point in time. And obviously, we have to look forward to next year and think about the positives in that side of things as well. And there is lots of positives coming out of the COVID situation and in our personal lives as well. I thought today, rather than dwelling on not having the retreat, we could talk about a few situations where things in our lives and our running careers have gone well for us or not gone well for us and how we reacted to those things. So I'll ask you the question. So was there a time in your running career that you did something that didn't go to plan for you, and how did you react to that?
Yeah, I think it's always a cycle, isn't it, of things going up and down, really. People think elite athletes have this smooth career, this running career, but as we know, it's never like that. It's actually up and down the whole time. One thing I found later on in my career, and particularly when I went more into coaching, is you find that you quite often reflect on the things that don't go well and the things that have gone badly, and you try and learn from them. But quite often when things go well, you don't actually reflect on them. You just move on and like, oh, yeah, I'm a hero. Great. You know, that went according to plan. Brilliant. But you don't actually look at why that went according to plan or why it went well. It's one of the things I work with a lot with my athletes now is when something goes well, I look for patterns and trends of why did that go well? What did we do right, which led to a good performance or a good run or a good race, whatever that might be. Because when things go wrong, we always look for answers, and people call them excuses. They're like, oh, no, I'm making excuses. They're not. You're just looking for answers to the problem. So you can quite often highlight things, some standout ones for me in my career. The biggest one would probably be that in 2012, when I made the World Indoors, which you came out to watch, was a big highlight of my career, you know, really big high. I felt like everything was going according to plan. Went out to Font-Rémy that year, had a little bit of a plantar fascia issue at the time, but was kind of managing it with physio support out there. And it's one of the benefits of being on a camp with British Athletics is you get access to their support channels with physiotherapy and doctors. So working with John Rogers and Kat Riley out there. And they were managing that really well. I'd been put on the Olympic long list with British Athletics, which is exciting. It was the Olympic year. You'd been considered as you could potentially make the Olympic Games. You needed to submit your passport and all these details and, you know, really exciting time. And then less than a month after that, Gemma was diagnosed with cancer at the time. So she was going through some tough times with a lump on her neck, which we then found out to be Burkitt's lymphoma. And it was further along than we thought. It wasn't stage one, which they originally thought it was. It was stage three. So it was like all of a sudden my plans for that year, whether I was going to go to the Olympics or not, which realistically I didn't think, you know, I would make an Olympic team, but there was a Europeans that year as well, which I was very much having my eye on. And I believed I could make that European team from the way I'd been running indoors. All plans were up in the air. It was like, right, things have to change.
With the situation there, that like you can almost relate to how things happen now. Like obviously when Gemma got sick, it kind of threw everything like up in the air, and it wasn't to plan for, similar to how COVID's affected everyone's lives currently. People have died from it, people have no family members who have died from it as well, but also not only that, but the disruption to life and the disruption to your running career there. How did that make you feel when obviously it is a serious thing to happen, but how did it make you feel in terms of you selfishly? How did you react to that, thinking my career is now put on hold because my best friend, my partner, my wife is no longer able to live her life the way she was planning herself.
Yeah, it's really interesting to look back on how I dealt with it, because at the time you kind of just deal with it. Like you get on with it and you kind of have to. And people often say to you, you know, you act differently when it's life or death. And this was a classic case of, you know, this could be life or death. It was as serious as that. I remember the first night we found out exactly what it was, I walked straight round to the school that I worked at the time, and I just said, look, I won't be coming in tomorrow and I won't be coming in again until next year, because it was nearly the summer. I said, I won't be coming into work, and regardless of what happens with my pay, I don't care. You know, you can pay me or not pay me, I'm not bothered, I won't be in. She needs my support. And then, I had a bit of a cry to a couple of friends in Loughborough. Adam Cotton was one of them who I went to see. And then I rang John Nuttall, my coach, and he was out in France, actually, funnily enough, talking about France. I couldn't really speak to anyone at that point in time, as you can imagine. It was very emotional, even trying to get it out, like trying to say it to somebody over the phone. I really struggled with that. So I kind of kept it short and sweet. I just said, oh, look, you know, running's going to take a back step. Jem's really ill. We need to solve this, and we need to get it sorted as quickly as we can. And how I seen it as, to be honest, I just seen as that, right, the focus that we had for running, both myself and Gemma, now needed to be put elsewhere. It was as simple as that. It was, and you're right, you're absolutely spot on, actually. It wasn't too dissimilar to COVID, because the first thing that Gemma had to do was had to go into isolation in hospital, into a room, which was called the bone marrow unit at Leicester, because she couldn't have too much interaction with other people because her white blood cells were going to be wiped out. So she was at a high risk of infection. So actually we lived together for the first couple of months of her treatment. We lived together in a room in a hospital. I was on a camp bed and she was on the bed, and we lived in one room for months. And it was like being isolated from the world. You could only have close friends and family in there to see you. And actually, I think that prepared us really well for the situation we're in now, because to be honest, this is a dream compared to what that was.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it's quite funny how people can adapt to different situations so quickly. Like, we've seen that with this, and you obviously did that then. And maybe we can try and relate this to running, essentially. This is a big life thing, like COVID, life or death, cancer, life or death. But can you look at your training and you can then look at things which are a priority, things which are not a priority? So if you were to drop everything out of your schedule and do some things and do not do some things, and looking at your running week, how can you relate that prioritization to running?
Yeah, and I'll probably flip this back to you as well, actually, because we've just been chatting about running and how we adapt in current situations and how you adapt to suit your own plans and things. And at the time, it was very easy. Don't get me wrong. One thing we both said, even Gemma, who was going through treatment, that running had to remain in at that time. And for us, running will always have to be in our plans, because we talk about it a lot. It's our release. It's our mental release. It's kind of like our meditation time. It's where we escape the real world. So for the rest of my life, running will have to be in there.
And that's actually what Gemma's charity started as well, the Move Charity, off the back of that.
Yeah.
Using running as a way to help with cancer patients, to help them recover, because of the mental aspect to it, as well as the physical aspects as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, spot on. And it is not, it's not just about the mental side. You know, there's a lot of physical benefits from it, and it's now clinically proven. And people now who are going through rehabilitation or going through chemotherapy or cancer treatments, then they are prescribed exercise now, which is a big step forward. But Gemma kind of knew that when she was going through that, but she was teaching it herself. And it kind of shows the importance of movement, not just exercise, of movement in general, whatever that might be, walking, getting out of bed, squatting, you know, just standing up, physically just standing up and activating those muscles. It's really, really important for people. And I think, to be honest, during this situation, it's like, it's prioritizing things, isn't it? Like, number one priority during this whole pandemic is your health. Like, it's your health and fitness, because you need to be strong, you need to be healthy. And for me, that whole situation in the past gave me a real perspective on life. It was like running seemed like everything beforehand. you and I were very similar at university. It's why we got on so well. We used to say we'd do anything to run for our country. That's what it's all about. You know, this is do anything to go to the Olympics, anything to run for my country. But the reality is you wouldn't do anything, because if someone said to you they're going to take one of your loved ones away, you wouldn't choose that over a Great Britain vest. Yeah. So actually it put things into perspective for me of actually the health of yourself, your family and your friends is paramount, and that always comes first, always. And it was the same in COVID. And it's like you said, you've adapted this week, you're running because you had a bit of a hamstring issue. So you've adapted so that you can run more. And you do that because, well, I'm assuming, because it makes you feel better that the fact you can run more.
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously, me getting out the door and training on a regular occasion makes me feel happy, makes me feel better about things. And in a situation where things have to change and the priorities aren't your loved ones, aren't running and becomes your loved ones is a different thing. But I was just kind of thinking then after the point you just mentioned, do you think that's the difference between someone who is the best and who is someone who just gets a GB vest or who represents the country? So the difference is, you'd drop your running to save you or help your wife. If you were meant to be the best ever, would you forget about your wife and keep on training, keep on focusing on that and forget about that? What do you think?
It's a great question. And do you know what? I've been thinking the same myself over the last week, because I've been reading a lot more in lockdown, and I like to read inspirational stories and stories of sports stars, even successful business people I like to read a lot about. And I was watching the Tiger Woods documentary on Sky, which was brilliant, last couple of nights. Watched the Michael Jordan series on Netflix. That's fantastic. Yeah. And these people have an underlying trait, which is a very selfish trait. And I do think you're onto something. Like, a lot of sports stars who make it to the top, you know, even the likes of people who stand out. Andy Murray's a good one. Victoria Pendleton, I like a lot about her, about, you know, how selfish and how driven she was. Alistair Brownlee's a classic, Alistair and Johnny Brownlee. And people say, oh, you know, they're selfish, but I don't think they are selfish. They're just driven. They
ruthless.
Ruthless, yeah. And I think you are right. I think you do need that. And the trait of having that probably comes out even when you're racing people as well. You know, you have that ruthless streak. I don't think you necessarily... It's not a trait you have to have. There'll be people who've got there in other ways, but I think it's one of the traits that definitely helps if you want to become the greatest.
Yeah, and it was the Michael Jordan documentary that made me think of it, because like, that guy was amazing. What he did in his drive, I've never seen anything like it on a TV series ever before up in front of me, because you don't get that exposure, you don't get that kind of insight. And watching what he did there, it's fantastic. Like the amount of years he was at the top of his game to perform at that level just makes you think, are the other greats the same? And Seb Cole in athletics, I loved him, reading books about him when I was younger and researching about his training and how he thought about things. The way he treated athletics was probably a similar way. And I think people sometimes thought he was a bit cold or a bit distant and wasn't the personable, lovable athlete that people want him to be. Maybe like Steve Evett was back in those days. But in the running sphere, maybe you do have to be ruthless. And when things don't go to plan and when things aren't working out the way you want it to, you kind of bend the plans to make it work for you. So in a situation where you can't train properly because you're in some kind of lockdown, can you do other training methods while you're at home and in lockdown? Is there ways around it? Is there ways to adapt the plans over to suit you? And I think the people at the top of the game will always do that. They won't just sit down and let it happen. And watching that documentary and thinking about how COVID affects us and affects training, it's important to kind of realise that adaptability is essential.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because I think there's another side to it as well, which, again, I've read about this in a book, and it's not until sometimes you read something you think, oh, yeah, actually, that really applies to me. So the other side of it is that something happens that gives you the motivation. So the Michael Jordan factor, again, when his dad passed away, and Tiger Woods, especially when his dad passed away, it gives them that fire. It provides them with that motivation. And there's strong links, again, to to psychology and mindset that when people are competing and they have this almost this inner drive that is worth more than themselves, so you're motivated through something that is more than just for you, then it drives you on to succeed even more. It was like a good example is like when Meb won the Boston Marathon, Meb Keflezighi, and he said the year he won it was the year after the Boston bombings. And the year after he won Boston, he tried for years to win Boston, but he said he felt like he was running for other people. So it wasn't just his own motivation. He was getting those motivation factors from elsewhere. And I think that can also drive people on where they selfishly bring it to their own self. So they relate it to themselves. And like you say, they either adapt that way and they use it as a drive. So a good example would be back to that situation with Gemma. Could I have gone, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be here every day. But also what I'm going to do every day is I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, which is going to help me as well. Whereas I just went out for a run, but could I have been doing more? And I know fine well there have been people out there who would have done that.
My next question, kind of our topic, is kind of what things do you regret? And that's a good situation to kind of bring up. Do you regret not going overboard and training 3 or 4 times a day whilst you were actually having to almost lock down while Gemma was going through her cancer treatment? Do you regret that?
There's a saying I'm looking at right now on my windowsill. It's in a picture frame. It says, they say it's the things you don't do in life that you regret. So that's something I live by. So, and I do believe there's things that you do, I don't regret. I just learn from because I chose to do them. But it's the things that sometimes you don't do and you think, what would have happened? Like, what would have been the case? There's not much in life that I regret, actually. I must admit, it's one of those things I look back on, particularly in running. Maybe going to America is one of the things. I think we'd probably both be similar in that. Like, now, it's a lot more common people go to America. When we were at college, university, it was still a little bit under-tapped. You know, Richard Newton, a good friend of yours who you grew up competing against, he was one of the first guys to go out there from our era. And it didn't quite work out for Richard, despite him being a really good junior. But I think that might have put a few people off. But now we see the successes people have had. I sometimes think, what would have happened if I'd have gone out there? And you never know. But I don't regret anything about the situation, like certainly Gemma's situation. In fact, if I went back and done it again, I'd do exactly the same thing again because it made us stronger. We both had a lot of success afterwards. Gemma went on to compete internationally for England for the first time. I got back to medaling twice at British level, won 2 British medals afterwards. And to be honest, it just made us happier, healthier people as a result of, you know, treating ourselves better and kind of looking after each other, I think.
Mm. Like, well, one thing you gave me when I was at university was a picture in a frame, and there's a quote on it: "The choices you take, not the chances, not the choices you make, not the chances you take, determine your destiny." I've had that since university. You gave me that; it was on your wall.
I remember that. Yeah,
I really liked it, and you gave it as a present, and I've had that forever. And it kind of applies in this situation as well. But we're kind of talking here, and hopefully trying to give some kind of wisdom or some kind of advice to people listening to this. Then it's kind of like the best plans can be laid in place, but they can change at any point in time. And the situation, and the point you made then about it not being something you regret shows that, and the fact that Gemma competed for England afterwards and you got back to higher level than you were before, shows that you can have things, small dips, but in the long run, if the focus is the same and the aim is what it is, it doesn't matter at all.
No, and I think that's, again, a very valid point. Like, you know, it doesn't matter when you get there, as long as you're always striving to get there. And right now, there's a lot of people sat at home who had aspirations to run marathons, and that marathon date has passed already, you know, whether it be London in April or whatever it was. You know, we've just heard Boston's gone again, so that's not going to take place this year. And I've got quite a few athletes who wanted to do Boston, and they're like, oh, I'm not going to get my chance to do Boston. Well, you are. You're just going to do it on a different date. And one of my athletes who I had a conversation with about it, they said, oh, well, maybe I should run Boston and get the virtual medal. Maybe I should do the marathon. And I said, and they said, what's your opinion on that? And I said, if you want my honest opinion on that, I personally wouldn't take my medal from Boston until I did Boston, like, because I feel like that motivation will always be there then to go and do Boston. And your goal is still there, you know, still go after it. Now, virtual races are brilliant and they've served a purpose during this time. In fact, we've got involved in them as well, and our team definitely have. But I think when it's like your A goal, it's like your big, big goal, and it's still going to happen, you've just got to adapt your mind and think, right, I'm just going to go after that on a different day. Like, it's still there. I'm still striving towards it. It didn't go according to plan, but a lot of successful sports stories in life, or any stories, didn't go to plan. If you look back at them, Kelly Holmes, double Olympic champion, not till late on in her career, like, very late on. A lot of medals along the way and a lot of injuries. Mo Farah didn't become Olympic champion until late on in his career, and then he kept winning. But he had a lot of shortfalls before the way, on the way. And I think that's apparent in any sport. Michael Jordan's another good one, isn't it? Like, how many times he missed out before he got there, but then, boom, they started coming thick and fast.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you can never really regret where you've come from and where you want to go to. But yeah, it's just been good to talk to you today, Lewis, about these things. And obviously, we can't do the retreat this year, and it's something that, a plan that we spent a lot of time making and a lot of our life putting together for then not to happen. But if you're looking bigger picture, we're going to be there next year. It's going to be even better than we initially planned. I can feel it.
And you might be fitter as well if you keep doing what you're doing. Let's be careful. It is. I mean, you text me, or you, I mean, your mind works in mysterious ways. I love the way you think. It's like, straight away, well, you know, this gives an opportunity to do more next year. Like, and that's the way you got to look at it. You know, you can't just go, oh, no, we've missed one. And it would have been easy for us to say, you know what, let's just not do the retreat this year. Let's just not even start it. We had a go at it. It didn't happen. We're never going to do it in the future. Instead, you went, now, I tell you what, we'll do it next year and we'll do more. Like, so you, it's just a choice, isn't it? It's just a choice. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's the right one, because I think we have a good thing that we've put together, and I think people are going to enjoy it. And we're going to try and do these a bit more regular over the next few months, have a little chat about certain topics that we feel are relevant at the point in time. And we thought today it was relevant to talk about plans not happening and situations in our lives where that could have been important to us. So thanks for today, Lewis. Good to talk to you as always.
And you, mate. Stay safe, and we'll see each other very soon, I'm sure, now, which is great. But yeah, keep on training, buddy.
Hi, guys. Hope you enjoyed the Runner Retreats podcast with myself, Lewis Moses from New Levels Coaching, and Matt Wood from Run Through UK. We've got plenty more episodes to come, where we'll be joined by special guests who are going to provide an insight and plenty of inspiration from the running world. So stay tuned for them. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so. Look out for New Levels Coaching and Run Through UK, and also our very own Runner Retreats UK. Okay, we hope to see you again soon, and we hope you enjoyed the show.